Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
Okay, for quite some time, we have heard about the raccoon issue in Toronto. We've had people locking up trash cans. They've sent people special trash cans because raccoons were terrorizing neighborhoods. Well, now we have raccoons actually terrorizing the city of Toronto. They knocked out power, or one anyway, knocked out power to thousands of people in downtown Toronto. 7,000 customers in the city's downtown were without power for more than 2 hours after a lone raccoon made contact with a transformer at a transmission station in the Church Wellesley area, if you know Toronto. So a Hydro One spokesperson, crews were able to confirm that the outage was caused by the raccoon. And how did they confirm that? Well, good news, the animal died on site. The animal should not have been messing around with the utility power station at all. So they say that they take it very seriously and will look at whatever measures it can put in place to prevent similar outages from happening again. I know one way. You know, just a thought. Animals apparently do take to the power stations, and they say that we want to prevent animal-related outages at power stations. I know. So here's a way to do it. Either by the state or by Hydro One, or arming citizens in Toronto to take it into their own hands. I think, you know, you come outside your house and there's a raccoon rummaging through your trash and they hear, maybe they stop. I think most raccoons would probably turn around, get up on their hind legs and say, "What? What do you got for me?" That's when that sends a message to the other raccoons. Like, the humans mean business now. This is just a thought from me for Toronto. You're welcome. And I know all our friends at PETA, well, we're not really friends of this program, will be against it. So maybe we trap them, we ship them back out to the woods. I don't know. Raccoons are mean, they're nasty, and they breed like wildfire. So you got to put an end to it somehow, don't you? I mean, I guess going through garbage is one thing, but when they start knocking out power stations, something has to be done. And it might as well be... Welcome! Welcome to Chewing the Fat. I mean, maybe you just hang the raccoon that fried itself at the power station in Toronto. Maybe you just hang him up outside of the power station. It would keep the other raccoons away. Like, no, I'm not going in there. That would be awesome. And as long as we're talking about Toronto, I know last week or the week before, we talked about how they had their tobogganing ban at 45 parks in the city. I don't know, maybe kids were being attacked by raccoons. It didn't say that in the story. It just said that the city didn't want to be responsible. They allowed the kids to go to some other parks to toboggan, but we just didn't want to have bales of hay and having kids hurt themselves while they're trying to have fun. But now they're looking to remove that. Huh. There's a few council members that are like, this is stupid, and we need to stop this, okay? We need to overturn the tobogganing ban at 45 parks here in Toronto. This is a fun outdoor winter activity that we've done forever, and we need to go ahead and ban this. We need to ban the ban. So I hope that's the phrase that we're using in Toronto. Ban the ban, and let the kids start tobogganing down the hill again. Okay, so I'm looking at Wallet Hub, the Cassandra Happ, H-A-P-P-E, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. She's a Wallet Hub analyst. Her quote is, although residents of every state have wonderful qualities, people across the nation have their own moral struggles, from violent outbursts and bullying to compulsive gambling, excessive lust, and self-destructive consumption. At the individual level, harmful behavior may only impact a few people, but when a higher share of a state's population engages in these activities, it diminishes the overall quality of life. Well, thank you, Cassandra. So, Wallet Hub, along with, I'm guessing, Cassandra, who is a Wallet Hub analyst, they compared 50 states across 55 key indicators of immoral or illicit behavior. Data set ranges from violent crimes per capita to excessive drinking to the share of the population with gambling disorders. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Who do you think the most sinful state in the United States is? Go ahead. I'll wait. Okay, the most... No, I won't wait. Number one is pretty self-explanatory. So we'll start at 10. The most sinful states, according to Wallet Hub. Number 10 is Delaware. Wow. Number 2 in jealousy rank. Number 9 is Pennsylvania. Wow. Pennsylvania doesn't rank in the top 10 of any of the anger and hatred, jealousy rank, excessive vices, greed, lust rank. All right. Number 8, Arizona. Number 7, Texas. Texas ranks 6th in jealousy rank and number 1 in lust rank. A lot of people walking around Texas going, oh yeah, like to get me some of that. South Carolina coming in at number 6. They come in at number 2 with the anger and hatred rank and number 3 with the greed rank. Tennessee coming in at number 5, they're number 3 with the anger and hatred rank. Number 2 in excesses and vices rank, and number 5 in the lust rank. Tennessee, strong showing in the top 10 at number 5. Florida is number 4. They come in at number 5 with the jealousy rank and number 4 with the lust rank. Anger and hatred, 41st, vices, 42nd, greed rank, 32nd, but they still... pushes them up to number 4. California, of course, is number 3. They come in at number 2 behind Texas with the lust rank. People in Texas and California both walking around with, oh yeah, I gotta get me some of that. Louisiana coming in at number 2. They come in at number 1 with excesses and vices rank. Louisiana is in the top 10, 4th in anger and hatred, 4th in jealousy rank, 8th in lust rank, and number 1, of course, in the vices rank. And coming in at number 1, the number 1 most sinful state in the United States of America, according to Wallet Hub and Wallet Hub analyst Cassandra Happ. Say it with me now. Nevada. That's right, Nevada. Big surprise. They're number 1. They come in 7th in anger and hatred, 3rd in the jealousy rank, 3rd in excesses and vices, number 1 in, yes, greed, and number 3 in the lust rank. So a strong, strong showing for the most sinful state in the United States. Congratulations, Nevada. Congratulations. Oh my gosh, that's where the Super Bowl is this year. And good news for Vegas, because I see where a last-minute deal was reached with the union representing hospitality workers that's going to avoid the, it would have been a messy situation ahead of the arrival of the football fans far and wide. Yeah, the Culinary Workers Union confirmed the new contracts were in the works, and that will ensure hotel restaurants keep dishing out meals to hungry guests. So no worries if you're headed to Sin City for the Super Bowl, you'll still get served, you know, whatever food or whatever you want without hesitation. For a moment, I'd like to talk to you about real soap. old school, hand-poured, made from scratch. Raw goat milk makes soap special. Creamy and soft with rich, sudsy lather. All the essential proteins and nutrients are preserved in goat milk soap and delivered in a finished bar of real soap. And that's what you get from Quinn Pittman's goat soap. Go to qpgoatsoap.com, QP Goat Soap, and to check out all the varieties of Quinn's goat soap. If you didn't already know this, some of the best soap on the market today is made from goat milk. That's something Quinn Pittman found out at an early age. That's why he is the goat king. And he's been making it from his own herd of goats ever since. And rumor has it that the goat king is going to be expanding his goat herd kingdom. So, I mean, not only he's upping his game, now up yours. And you can up yours at qpgoatsoap.com. It smells amazing, feels great on your skin. They're very proud of the product. Quinn and his family, very proud of their product. But it doesn't stop at just soap for your skin. Quinn also makes amazing laundry soap, which will leave your clothes clean and smelling fresh. Not only will your skin be soft and lather luscious, so will your laundry. Why use all those harsh detergents on your clothes when you could be using something natural and handmade? Only takes about a tablespoon a load of laundry. So a 25-ounce bag, I guess we'll do 90 loads. That's what it says here. I'm not doing the math for you. But just know that it says here, you get a tablespoon per load of laundry, 25-ounce bag, 90 loads. That's what it says here. I'm not saying that. It's time to take your soap game to the next level. Why would you settle for anything less? Why settle for the stuff that's designed for your skin to be clean yet dry, so you have to buy other products from the company? Just incredible. Go to qpgoatsoap.com. qpgoatsoap.com. Use the offer code Jeffy. Get yourself 10% off your total order. qpgoatsoap.com. Okay, many of you have reached out, and I just want to say, no, it's not me. Okay, I'd like to take credit for it, but I see where Mizzou Athletics, that's the University of Missouri Athletics, received a $62 million gift from an anonymous donor. It wasn't me. Okay, I did not donate $62 million. I'd like to take credit for it and say, yeah, it was me, but it wasn't. It's the largest amount donated to Mizzou Athletics in school history. Now, according to this, the majority of the money is slated for renovations to Mizzou football's Memorial Stadium. The anonymous donor, not me, designated $50 million to redevelop the North Concourse as well as contribute to other stadium upgrades. I mean, Memorial Stadium has already expanded the North Video Board with an upgraded sound system for 2024. And so the other $12 million of the gift will go to the Mizzou Tiger Fund, a program through the Tiger Scholarship Fund that helps student athletes, started in 2023. So the $62 million gift is more than double the previous record that was given in 2012. I didn't give that either. So I'd like to be the one to say, yep, that was me, but I wouldn't give it as an anonymous donor. Now, I would like to say that if there's an anonymous donor that would like to donate money to Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher, I'm here and I'm willing to accept it. I would like to come on the air and say, hey, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher has received whatever amount as an anonymous donor, and thank you, Fena. We're upgrading the Chewing the Fat podcast thanks to this anonymous donation. Now, that could happen, I guess, if I hit the lotto. Nobody hit the Powerball last night, so it's now $228 million, jackpot, 112.6 cash payout. That drawing is tomorrow for those of you listening live, Wednesday, the 7th of February. As for today, Mega Millions has a drawing worth $358 million jackpot, $174.2 million cash payout. And, so I guess we could still hit that. And if somebody hits that and then wants to give an anonymous donation to Chewing the Fat, you know what? Thank you. Thank you. On behalf of Chewing the Fat, I would accept the anonymous donation. All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately. Wow. So I'm looking at a story about the television show Yellowstone, and it looks like that show is done. All right, so we get the last half of season 5 later this year without Kevin Costner, without John Dutton. He's done. He's not part of the final season of season 5. Season 6 has been canceled. So that's not happening. All right, so you have the new show. I think it's called 2024. Now, that's Taylor Sheridan's way of naming shows now. We just name them by a year and we're good. That's what we do. 1883, 1924, whatever it is. We name them by the year. That's Taylor's deal now. Okay, I got it. I like it. It's cute. So apparently, the new show, tentatively titled 2024, and that's the one with what's-his-face McConaughey, right? Well, Kelly Reilly, Cole Hauser, and Luke Grimes might not be reprising those roles in the new series because they want more money. And they're saying, hey, if you want the originals, you got to pay some more money. So Beth Dutton, Kelly, wants $1.2 million per episode. Wow. According to this story, look, she came down. She made a distance. She wanted 1.5. Tell you what. Tell them I'll do it for 1.2. okay, no problem. Cole Hauser, who plays Rip, is asking for $1.25 million an episode. They're not saying how much Grimes asked for, who plays Casey Dutton, but he, you know, obviously wanted a pay raise. So they're fighting over how much they're going to get paid for the new series, which is tentatively titled, again, 2024. Because Paramount and the rest of them are trying to say, well, look, we still have to pay you for season 6, which isn't going to happen. Oh, okay. So they got pay bumps for season 6 salaries, but now season 6 isn't going to happen. So I guess we're just saying, hey, we're planning on so many episodes in season 6. And since it's not going to happen, this is what you get paid because it's not going to happen, but you're still under contract. Wow. That'd be nice. That'd be sweet. You don't have to do anything, and we're still going to pay you, I don't know, $800,000 an episode. I don't know what they're making per episode. They certainly, if they're asking for 1.2, they're not making that. So they're probably making what, $800,000-$900,000 an episode already? And then they're going to have what, 2024? They'll probably go into some kind of lawsuit because Yellowstone will say, well, we're only going to make 2 episodes in season 6. Sorry. No, there's no way we were going to make 10 episodes or 12 episodes. We're not paying you all that money. So that'll be a fun lawsuit to have. So we'll see. We do have part 2 of season 5 premiering the end of this year, 2024. We'll see if that, you know, what comes of that. And then, I mean, we've got the 1883, we've got the 1923, we've got the 1944, and we've got the new spinoff series titled 666, which is Taylor's Ranch, and we're looking at the new show with McConaughey, 2024. So don't count on them being in the new series. Paramount just might say, you know what, for $1 million an episode, yeah, we're not going to do that. Now, that would be difficult to do because Matthew, you know, I like Matthew McConaughey, but can he hold down the fort of a Yellowstone show without them? We'll probably find out. And maybe we'll just have talks with a new show called Rip, or a new show, you know, we'll have those as a separate show, which would be offshoots to Yellowstone, which wouldn't be bad. They might be able to pull it off. Speaking of Yellowstone, the park, not the show, I see where actor Pierce Bronson, who I love his work, he's in trouble now with the Yellowstone Park people. I know! So apparently, last fall, he was filming a movie called The Unholy Trinity, or at least tentatively titled The Unholy Trinity, also starring Samuel L. Jackson. And while in the area, this happened last year, while in the area, he decided to take a trip to Yellowstone National Park in the northwest corner of Wyoming. He was touring the enormous 2.2 million acre park, and he allegedly made two illegal missteps. On one occasion, the 70-year-old allegedly ventured... Wow, Pierce Bronson is 70 years old already. He allegedly ventured into Mammoth Terraces, a hot springs area that was closed to the public at the time. He then also supposedly wandered off the walkway in another thermal area of the park. That bastard. How he wasn't hung and at the gate, I don't know. Because according to federal law, all Yellowstone tourists must restrict their foot travel to boardwalks or trails that are maintained for such travel and are marked by official signs. So I don't know that he took pictures or it happened there, because they say he eventually received two federal citations, one for foot travel in all thermal areas and within Yellowstone Canyon confined to trails, and the other for violating closures and use limits. The maximum penalty for those offenses include 6 months behind bars and a $5,000 fine. Pierce will not be spending any time in jail. I can promise you that. Here's a little money for the fine. All right, get out of here. You know what? And here's a couple extra bucks. I'll let somebody paint the boardwalks on my behalf, okay? So he pleaded not guilty with his attorney hearing at the District Court of Wyoming back in January. Okay, so now he has a virtual hearing coming up the 20th of this month. So we'll see. He has not commented on that. Now, they claim, according in this article, some of the most dangerous attractions in the park are there, these thermal areas, and water temperatures can reach a scalding 175 degrees Fahrenheit, and the park warns visitors that hot springs have injured or killed more people in Yellowstone than any other natural feature. Okay, well, he didn't die, and if he had, that would have been a big story. Pierce Bronson, dead at Yellowstone. Shouldn't have stepped off the trails, Pierce. We'll see what happens. I all but guarantee that Pierce Bronson is not going to spend 6 months or any time behind bars for this federal offense at the national park. Here's a fine, two offenses. Here's 10 grand. Here's another five to, sorry about it. I'll paint the new sign for you. And you know what? I'll do a PSA. I'll do a PSA for you that says, hey, stay on the boardwalk. Don't walk off. This is Pierce Bronson. He's not going to be spending any time in jail. You or I? You may cause. You may get 6 months behind bars and a fine. Pierce, that's not going to happen. You and I both know that. It's a two-tiered justice system for something like this. 100%. Who died today? Who died today? Very sad news, as I know they all are, but Toby Keith. Toby Keith, the country singer, dead at the age of 62. You know Toby, I mean, he had hits of Red Solo Cup and Should Have Been a Cowboy. So he had been diagnosed with stomach cancer back in 2022. And so everyone knew that he was struggling with the cancer. According to his family, he passed away peacefully. I mean, I guess that's what they all say, right? I mean, he passed away peacefully, surrounded by his family. Toby was 62. It's really, really sad. I know that one of the things that they talked about was he released a project every year for almost two decades. Songwriter, hit machine, some of the most, well-known songs. So, very sad. Toby Keith, dead at the age of 62. Rest in peace. You know, when he was asked about it, he was on one of the, some awards show, and he was asked about his cancer diagnosis, and he said that it's a little bit of a roller coaster. You get good days, and you know, you're up and down and up and down. It's always 0 to 60 and 60 to 0, but I feel good today. Wow. That's a good line. That's why he's Toby Keith, the songwriter. That's a great song right there. I hope we'll pick that up, because, you know, it's always 0 to 60 and 60 to 0, but I feel good today. Toby Keith, dead at the age of 62. Okay, also, I mean, you know, no one supports zoos more than this show and myself. No one supports zoos more than I do. And so who died today? Walnut, white-naped crane. Has died at the Smithsonian's National Zoo and Conservation Biology Institute at the age of 42. Walnut fell in love with her human zookeeper and regarded, and this guy, I guess they were mates. And I mean by, I don't know that there was any mate business going on, but there was love from Walnut. And so Chris Crow, the human zookeeper who was in love with Walnut, or Walnut was in love with him, he was quoted as saying, "I'll always be grateful for her bond with me." Oh, now you may have remembered them because they had internet fame and the occasional love song. And it dates back to the bird's 2004 arrival at the Institute's campus in Front Royal, Virginia. So, the chick of two wild cranes who had been brought to the U.S. illegally and were later rescued, so it was an anchor baby, an anchor crane, rescued by the International Crane Foundation. I love them. Walnut was hand-raised by people and bonded with her human caretakers. That preference continued when she came to the Institute. She showed no interest in breeding and even attacked male crane suitors. No way. She's got my man. Chris Crow, you back off me, all right? So there we go. Crow stepped in, won her over, and then that was love from first sight. So rest in peace, Walnut, the white-naped crane from the Smithsonian's National Zoo and Conservation Biology Institute, dead at the age of 42. Then we have another animal that we lost. Butros. I think it's Butros. B-U-T-R-O-S. So that's his name. The Aldabra tortoise. Member of the species, one of the largest land tortoises, and reportedly loved by all, dead at the age of 150. I know! Rest in peace, Butros, or Butros. B-U-T. R-O-S. Passed away earlier this month. I know we just find this out about it now. Maybe it took him a while to realize he was dead. So it says here, he spent many of his days enjoying the simple things in life. A pool to soak in, sun to bathe in, and snacks of willow, hay, lettuce, and the occasional carrot. That's great. Maybe they didn't realize he was dead. Maybe he was just hanging out over there in the corner of the zoo. And finally, somebody said, you know, Butchers hasn't moved in a week or two. Maybe somebody ought to go over there and check on him. And they did. And, well, darn the luck, he's dead. You may have seen him. They've posted videos about him over the years from the Idaho Falls Zoo. And he was a big attraction at the old Idaho Falls Zoo. I mean, I guess he still could be. You just leave the shell out there and say, yeah, that's Butros. The humans could just move the shell around once in a while and pretend that it was him. Oh, just stop it. Okay. So rest in peace, Butros, the Aldabra tortoise, dead at the age of 150 years. Speaking of zoos, as long as we're covering zoos, we might as well talk about San Antonio Zoo. You know, I know that all of you still have a chance to name your cockroaches at all kinds of zoos around America. It's a big deal. Valentine's Day moneymaker for the zoos. You can name items that the zoo uses to feed their animals, and you can name them after your exes, and then you can, you know, stream it and watch the zoo feed the animals your ex's cockroaches. good times. But also at the San Antonio Zoo, they are expanding. And during their construction of the new Savannah Habitat, they found a time capsule. Now, the time capsule is from 1993. I don't know. It doesn't seem that it should be. We should have just left it buried. It's 1993. Was that 30 years? That really doesn't seem like much of a time capsule. But they opened it up, and I know people thought that it was possibly the extended car warranty from the zoo, but it was not. It was old zoo maps, employee newsletters, and pamphlets that were revealed in the capsule, proving just how much the zoo has changed in the past 30 years. Yeah, it's only been 30 years. Maybe we just should have buried it. Roll it back up again and bury it so we can find it in another 30, and then it'll be 60 years, and it will actually be, you know, like a time capsule, something that we, you know, find fascinating. I don't know that I find something 30 years ago fascinating, but, you know, I looked at it, and I looked at the pictures of the stuff, and I read the story, so I guess it was worth something. All right, so you know, climate change is real. All right, I just want you to know climate change is real, and we are discussing things that are happening because of the changing of the climate. It is unbelievable. Don't look at me like that. I mean that. There's a new study published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, and man, I love the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. No, not scientists, sciences. All right, it's the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Now, they argue that hurricanes are getting so powerful due to climate change that the upper limit of the Saffir-Simpson hurricane wind scale, a Cat 5, is antiquated. They propose adding a Category 6 label to any tropical cyclone with sustained winds of at least 192 miles per hour. The lead author of the published report, Michael Wenner, said that's probably faster than most Ferraris. Thank you, lead author. The scientists found that five storms had exceeded a hypothetical Category 6, and they've occurred since 2013. They've all occurred since 2013. Well, then we need to change everything. Then we find out that because of record-breaking heat waves that made their way across the U.S. in the summer of 2023, oh no. Now that means that caused an uptick in severe flesh-eating infections. Now, I am not a fan of flesh-eating infections, just I want to be on record, okay? It's a deadly bacterial species that resides in coastal waters, this according to the CDC. Noted an infection can happen when a wound comes into contact with raw or undercooked seafood, its juices or its drippings, or with salt water or brackish water, adding that it can cause life-threatening wound infections. The CDC went on to suggest that about 1 in 5 people who get infected end up dying just a day or two after being infected. Really, because I have experience with someone who got a wound infected with from ocean water, and he didn't lose a leg, he didn't lose his life, and the wound is healed now. So it took a long time. It took a long, long time to heal that wound, but that's why he had a wound on his leg and he was walking in nasty water, and that was before the summer of 2023. So just letting you know that, oh my gosh, it happened earlier than they say. So if the bacteria is ingested through raw or undercooked seafood, it can cause serious gastrointestinal infection. This could sometimes result in vomiting, fever, or watery diarrhea. It can also result in sepsis, an extreme response that can lead to life-threatening septic shock. Yeah, an extreme response, like one in how many? I don't know. So just know that now we have to worry about hurricanes getting stronger. We have to worry about flesh-eating bacteria becoming more prevalent. And now we find out that a group of Israeli scientists believe that we should send up a giant parasol to block the sun. Okay, come on. Let's stop it. We're going to send up a giant umbrella to float in outer space. Yes. We're going to create a huge sunshade and send it to a faraway point between the Earth and the Sun to block a small but crucial amount of solar radiation, enough to counter global warming. Okay, stop it. So scientists have calculated that it's just shy of 2% of the Sun's radiation is blocked. That would be enough to cool the planet by 1.5 degrees Celsius or 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit and keep the Earth within manageable climate boundaries. Yeah, because we're not in manageable climate boundaries now, right? Right. That's what you have to believe. So the idea, obviously, is agonizing to me. I guess I just hate the Earth. A recent study led by the University of Utah explored scattering dust deep into space. You know what? Send some cleaners over to my house and they can take all the dust they want. Utah, University of Utah, come to my home and clean it and take all the dust you want. It is all yours. I give it to you. You're welcome. They want to send this dust into space. Okay. As a shield? All right. MIT, I think these are just crazy ideas, right? They're creating a shield made of space bubbles. Okay. They want to talk about tethering a big solar shield to a repurposed asteroid. Okay, I am a fan of the University of Utah coming to my house and cleaning it and taking all the dust. And then, hey, let's shoot it off into space and have it explode out in space so we have dust particles blocking the sun, because the sun couldn't burn through that, right? Right. Just a few examples of where we're at. And it is, well, it's funny. It's just funny to me. Be sure to follow me on my social media accounts at JeffyJFR on X, Jeff Fisher Radio on Facebook and Instagram. You can follow me on my YouTube channel, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher. You can order a cameo from me at any time. That's not free. At JeffyJFR on the Cameo app. I believe if you walk over to the website, it's Jeff Fisher on at the Cameo website. But you can always order a Cameo. Just let me know whether you want me to be happy, glad, sad, mad, mean, whatever you need. And then I do it. I'm the trained monkey from Cameo. And you just order it through them at any time. And then you can also email the show anytime. That's the way the internet works, by the way. You can email chewingthefat@theblaze.com. Chewingthefat@theblaze.com. All right. I'll leave you with the joke / thought of the day to get you through the day, okay? This was on a sign outside of an automobile shop. And so I don't know if it was real or not. Could be made up. It's too good to be real, but I like it, so we'll pretend it's real, okay? All right. So in front of this auto shop there on their sign, they had things that tell the truth. Things that tell the truth. They said it once, I said it twice. Small children, drunk people, and yoga pants. And that's what they said on their sign. Don't look at me like I said it. I'm just telling you what the sign said. Probably isn't real anyway. I would recommend not wearing yoga pants to a number of people on the planet, though. Maybe that has something to do with climate change as well.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.